of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
We all had friends and family that were affected by the car fire. Most of the cleanup is done now, and a lot of families are looking at rebuilding. If you relied on a well for your water system, it's important to assess the condition of your well and its capabilities to be able to meet the demands of new construction codes. I'm Ted Ogilvie with Diamond Core Drilling. We've been providing water well systems and pumps in Northern California since 1980. Let us help you with your rebuilding process. That's Diamond Core Drilling, 275-8162.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than mainstream media soundbites.
We'll bring you experts on politics, national security, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. We the People Radio here at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Cigars, spirits, and diversions. The cigar and pleasure-friendly hotlines are open. 877-DAVE-007. Now, fire up a cigar and pour yourself a cocktail. It's time for the General Cigar Dave.
I am just licking my chompers. Prior to the commencement of Alphamale Broadcast Pleasure Maneuvers, I decided I was going to take several bites of a beautiful, juicy ribeye steak that I cooked on the grill this morning prior to coming to Command Center Alpha. Now, it is a little unusual that I will have steak that early, although it is 12:06 Eastern Time, so it's never too early as far as I'm concerned. But normally I'll wait till after the show. But why did I purposely have some meat before we began broadcast pleasure maneuvers? Because I want to absolutely drive the climate change crisis kooks absolutely crazy. Long Ash greetings and salutations. A Long Ash snappy salute. Semper Delectatio. Always pleasure. Long live the Alpha. Make America great again. Make masculinity great again. Screw the enemies of pleasure. Your global five-star general and Alpha male in chief, front and center from Command Center Alpha in the Cigar City. As always, surrounded by fantastic cigars, exceptional refreshing spirits, and today, succulent, juicy, tasty steak, meat, beef, driving every vegan crazy. And for very good reason, because in just a few moments I will tell you about the lunacy, the craziness, the absolute wackadoodles as they spewed their enemy of meat climate change nonsense at the big CNN town hall meeting that went, I don't know, 48 hours nonstop. We'll get to that momentarily. But it is September, and that means two things. First up, the start of the National Football League season. If you watched Thursday evening, the kickoff to the 2019 season celebrating the 100th anniversary of the National Football League, Al Michaels, Chris Collinsworth, Michelle Tafoya dressed in garb from around 100 years ago. I'm sorry, they had these goofy press hats. Didn't do it for me. Looked a little bit on the goofy side. But the actual game that was played between the Chicago Bears and the Green Bay Packers, oh, you betcha, set football offenses back 100 years, 10-3. Not an overly exciting game, but in the second hour for our annual NFL 2019 preview, our annual NFL preview, and today we'll be examining the 2019 season, Chris Landry of Landry Football .com will be joining us from the Landry Lab in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, one of the great scouts and really analysts able to break down talent, football teams, college, pro. He's got 20-some-odd podcasts he does per week on the pro game, on the college game. So Chris is heard on many radio stations, TV stations across the country. He will be joining us in the second hour. Also later this hour, we'll be joined by Mick the Brit, colonel in charge of the European Theater of Operations, or as they say in the South, the European Theater of Operations. I want to talk about Bojo, the Prime Minister of the UK. Boris Johnson met with Mike Pence. A couple of funny items that took place during their little meeting, so we will examine that. First up, before we get into discussing the climate change kooks, Hurricane Dorian, a Category 5, absolutely devastated the Bahamas. It devastated Grand Bahama Island. It devastated just huge swaths just of the northern portions of the archipelago of the Bahamas. Just absolutely incredible, the devastation. And it just sat there. And I know the stress it is undergoing a hurricane, just basically for, you know, preparations, just getting ready, getting the water. Last week, I went out, got water. I secured food supply, non-perishable food supplies, made sure I had plenty of dog food and batteries and everything else. So we go through it here in Florida. We are used to it, but it is still a very stressful time. But when you look at what happened on Abaco and Grand Bahama and just see the devastation and that they had to go through it for, what, 24 hours, 36 hours, nonstop. Where do you begin with all the devastation? So clearly we have many listeners in the Bahamas. We have since we started the show, and our listeners before streaming days, they would listen to us out of our affiliate in Miami and West Palm Beach. Many still listen. So our definite thoughts are with all those people. But what is interesting is private industry, private business, private citizens are going in with relief efforts as we speak. We saw that USAID, USAID, already began going over with relief. Royal Caribbean Cruise Lines said they were going to be starting with 10,000 meals a day that they were on their ships. They were going to be delivering to Grand Bahama and Abaco and upping it up to, I think, 20 or 30,000 meals a day. Carnival Cruise Lines, I believe, just announced $1 million donation. Disney, $1 million. And speaking of Disney, how on earth do they let 90 of their employees on their private island that their cruise ships stop to for a day of R&R? How on earth do they not evacuate their employees? The excuse that they came up with was that the forecast called for the hurricane to go a little bit north and that it would only be tropical storm force winds or at worst like a Category 3, but that they were all secure because they have a Category 4 approved building with water, power, rations, so they were all secure. All the employees are secure. I'm sorry. Forecasts can change. They had 90 hours or 96 hours, 72 hours to evacuate. They knew this was coming. They knew the direction. If I'm the CEO of Disney, I bring in Bob Iger. I bring in my executives that run the Disney Cruise Lines. I bring them into my office and say, what on earth were you thinking? To put our employees in harm's way is beyond unconscionable. And you have to wonder about the common sense and intelligence of many executives. Clearly, the Disney Cruise Line senior executives, the CEO, who was named not that long ago, I want to say less than a year ago, not a very bright man, or whomever made the decision, but it really should be the CEO. If I'm the CEO, the first thing I say is, what are we doing, number one, to secure our employees, and number two, to secure our island? And then three, make sure all of our ships are out of the path of that hurricane. First thing I say is, get my employees out of there. Do you know the excuse that Disney gave? Well, it would have required a boat ferry trip and a plane trip. Disney, every quarter, drops to the bottom line I don't know how many billions of dollars. You're telling me they can't afford to charter a an aircraft that seats 100, 120 people to evacuate everybody from their private island in the Bahamas? You can't charter a few boats and ferries to get people off that island? Please. Absolutely pathetic. Unconscionable. But for all those people that were in harm's way, that are right now struggling, keep them in your thoughts. And I know that many cigar connoisseurs, in fact, I've already been approached by several companies wanting to do an event. So we're talking about, because this is not going to be an overnight fix. This is not going to be something that is repaired in a day, a week. The first priority is obviously to rescue anybody that needs rescuing, make sure they are properly housed, they are properly fed, any medical care. And in fact, what's very interesting is the Coast Guard, the U.S. Coast Guard, immediately positioned helicopters and ships so that they would be able to get into the Bahamas and assist immediately. Now, I get a kick out of all these enemy of America Dems and libs and socialists that love to talk about the toxic masculinity of males in America. But I wonder, when our Coast Guard, men of the armed forces, men of the Coast Guard, and there were some women as well, but predominantly men, when they were out flying in hazardous, risky conditions, leading search efforts, trying to evacuate people from medical facilities that needed immediate medical care, I wonder, did their toxic masculinity, did that rise to the occasion? No, it was their alpha masculinity, not toxic masculinity. It was plain old alpha male masculinity, the same alpha male masculinity that was demonstrated during World War II, the same alpha male masculinity that has been on display in every single conflict the United States military has been in, or every rescue mission. Every time the world is in need, another country is in need, what's the first country to step up and say, we will send our people, we will send our resources, we will be front and center to help those in need? It's the United States of America. And I'm getting a little fed up with the AOC and the Ilhan Omars and all the enemy of America, Dems and libs and socialists, the hating Americans, that say, oh, America is evil, America are colonial imperialists, they are conquerors. No. America, as it has done, it's essentially since its entire existence, when another person around the world is in need after a natural disaster, we answer the call. No ifs, ands, or buts. It's the United States of America. We didn't have to send anybody. The British government. Technically, the Bahamas still has association with the British government. That is their responsibility. But out of humanitarian efforts, we came and assisted and are assisting. That is why we are proud to be American. That is why we never apologize for being American. And when I hear these enemies of America within the United States saying, we have no respect, we've lost all respect around the world under the current president, under President Donald Trump, other countries can't stand us. They despise us. Really? Other countries are the first when something happens, when the shoot hits the fan. The first call they make, the United States of America. Help, help, please help us. We need the Americans. So I don't ever want to hear the squad, Ilhan Omar or Rashida Tlaib or AOC or any of these other whack job enemies of America, to criticize this country and say we're evil, because we are not. Criticism of the way the country operates, sure, that's legitimate. No country's perfect. But when there's a time of need, we are the first to answer the call. And by the way, on a personal note, 2 years ago during Hurricane Irma, I evacuated. I got my canine companion, Sultan. Now we've got Sultan and Pendragon's Royal Baron, but I just had one at the time. I had Sultan. We got an Alpha Army 1, and we evacuated to Charleston. I looked at the track of the storm. Initially, it was going to make a direct hit in Tampa Bay and then travel north, and then looked as though it could go to the northwest. So I had several areas. I looked at Atlanta. I looked at Nashville, looked at New Orleans, but at Birmingham. But after looking at the map and the forecast track, said, okay, I'm going to go to Charleston because Charleston should be east, shouldn't get anything. So I immediately departed for Charleston. And I've got to tell you, I stayed at a Residence Inn near the airport. They could not have been nicer. The people in Charleston could not have been nicer. The folks at the airport could not have been nicer. Everybody I came in contact with, and there were many people that evacuated from Florida, license plates all over the hotel. Every hotel was filled. But everywhere I went, people said, oh, are you evacuating for the storm? I said, yes. They asked where I live. I said, Florida. They couldn't have been nicer, more hospitable. Well, Charleston really got whacked. Kind of at the tail end. It got a lot of flooding. I think about a foot of flooding in the downtown historic district. A lot of wind damage, even in the suburbs, even by the airport where I stayed, which is higher ground. So to those people in South Carolina, Georgia, North Carolina, Virginia that have gotten hit, believe me, we empathize with what you are going through. It is a very stressful time. It is certainly not pleasant, and we hope that you get life back to normal quickly. We really dodged a bullet here in the United States. No ifs, ands, or buts. That track, it's almost as if there was a magnet pulling it away from the United States. But the folks in the Bahamas, they were not as lucky, and it will not take a year, 5 years. This is going to take decades to recover. So we will get with several of the cigar companies. I know I've gotten emails from people saying, General, are you going to do anything for those people down in the Bahamas? Absolutely, we will work on that over the next few weeks. On, what was it, Tuesday or Wednesday evening? It already escapes me now. I think it was Wednesday evening. CNN conducted, to me, what felt like a 24-hour nonstop climate change forum because there's a major crisis, an existential threat. That's all we heard. We have got an existential threat. There is a crisis. If we don't do anything now, we're going to be gone. Meanwhile, I happened to look at quotes from many of these supposed climate change, what's the word I'm looking for, these climate change meteorologists and other supposed experts that wanted to sound a warning alarm. Basically warning that if we don't, this is starting back in 1965 and 1970, we don't do anything in 10 years, the planet's going to burn up. But at the time, the planet was going to freeze. We're going to go into another pole, and all the polar ice caps are going to come down to the U.S. and South America in the 70s, in the 80s. Then all of a sudden, when it wasn't freezing, oh, now we've got global warming. Then when that didn't work, now it's climate change. Never mind that there's no scientific evidence. But remember one thing from the Saul Alinsky Rules of Radicals. You must create a crisis to get everybody worked up. When you tell people that we are in a crisis mode and tell a lie often enough, people will believe it. Now, remember, there are a lot of dumb lemmings in this country. The people that listen to this show are quite intelligent, far more intelligent than the average American. We're all educated. We are up to date on current events, on politics, on worldly affairs. We can have discussions over a multiple range of topics. We're not a homogenous group. We come from different backgrounds. We come from different professions, different education levels, but we are all highly intelligent. We can all make our own minds up. We can listen to facts being presented to us and deduce from those facts what decision we should make on how we should live our lives, what activities we should partake and participate in. So when I saw this climate change, this, again, existential threat, we've got a crisis. Remember, Al Gore, the Earth has got the flu. If we don't give the Earth 2 Tylenol or 2 aspirin and call a doctor in the morning, we're going to burn up. It's like the flu. Yet, Al Gore still lives in multiple large homes burning more electricity, fossil fuels, than anyone else in the country, still flies by private jet, and I have no problem with that whatsoever. No ifs, ands, or buts. But what I have a problem is when all of them want to dictate how we should all live our lives, that all of a sudden if we use air conditioning or we drive an SUV or we grill meat on the grill, oh, we are contributing to global climate change. It's an existential threat. It's a crisis. How can you do this? It is just crazy. How on earth can you even think about this? So at this Democrat Climate Forum, that took place in New York. There were all the candidates were there. Kamala Harris, Bernie Sanders, everybody was there. Joe Biden, there was, they were all there. I mean, you name it. Pete Buttigieg. I like saying it like Trump. Pete Buttigieg. And there was Amy Klobuchar, total zero, nothing going on there. And there was Robert Francis Beta Male O'Rourke, another nutcase. The guy talks with his hands. That's so irritating. You want to slap the guy. You absolutely, when you watch the TV, you want to just grab your hands, slap him, and take his hands and say, keep him to the side. Can you not speak without your hands flailing all over the place? Apparently he can't. So they went on and on and on. Now, I'm going to wait. Sergeant Steve, I know I ran a little bit long on time, so I'm going to wait to play the sound bites. But I'm going to tell you that these people want to ban everything. In fact, you know what, Sergeant Steve? I think we have time to play the ban everything soundbite. So let's do that. I know it is cut number two. Just to give you an idea that these enemies of pleasure, they want to ban everything. You name it, they want to ban it. Here's a little sample of what they want to ban.
Would you support changing the dietary guidelines?
Yes.
You know, the food pyramid. What people
yes.
are
yes.
to reduce red meat specifically.
Yes, I would.
Do you ban plastic straws?
I think we should. Yeah.
So would you ban offshore drilling?
Yes.
Just today, the Trump administration announced plans to overturn requirements on energy-saving light bulbs. Would you reinstate those requirements? As
you can get electricity from a light bulb that utilizes one-tenth of the power that an old incandescent light bulb used, of course you're going to do that.
We have to take combustion engine vehicles off the road as rapidly as we can.
Let's talk about offshore drilling for oil. Would you ban it?
Yes.
Would you ban offshore drilling?
Absolutely yes. We will transition off of fossil fuels, natural gas, coal, oil.
What about the export of fossil fuels from the United States? Would you ban that?
Absolutely, we must get to that point.
There's no question I'm in favor of banning fracking.
I'm in favor of a carbon-free America.
In my administration, we're not going to build any new nuclear power plants.
We should set out the rules for what kind of plant, you know, coal-burning plants. No one's going to build another coal-burning. We've got to shut the ones down we have.
We're going to end factory farming because that is not only, that is a danger to the environment and to climate change. You know, there will be a transition. There will be a transition and there will be some pain there.
We are all going to be in the dark. We are all going to stay home because we cannot have any transportation. We can't have straws. We can't have meat. We'll all be in the dark. Except, of course, those authoritarian legislators who tell us what we should do, how we should live, yet do as I say, not as I do. We will continue around the corner.
The Cigar Dave Officers Club selection for September is the Plasencia Almadel Combo. This complex smoke is creamy with a touch of spice. The Plasencia Almadel Combo has notes of coffee and nuts while leaving a lasting impression on your palate. Want these cigars shipped directly to you each month? Log on to CigarDave.com to join the Officers Club.
In 1964, Jose O. Padron began rolling cigars bearing his name in modest surroundings with one guiding principle: always focus on quality, never on quantity. Nearly 40 years later, Padron cigars are recognized for their superior taste and majestic construction. The result of Padron controlling all aspects of the cigar-making process, including planting their own seeds, growing and curing their own tobacco, and constantly supervising the rolling room. To Wall Street, it is called vertical integration. To the Padron family, it's called making great cigars. The Padron lines include the Padron 1964 Anniversary Series and the Padron Traditional line. All Padron cigars are wrapped in Nicaraguan sun-grown Habano tobacco, available in natural or maduro. Experience Padron. For your Padron retailer, call 1-800-453-5635. When Padron is on the band, quality is a matter of family honor.
Surgeon General warning. Tobacco use increases the risk of infertility, stillbirth.
Have you been involved in any type of accident? Bring it to Mako and get it fixed at a fraction of the cost. Is your paint faded, peeling, or even scratched up? You may think it's way too expensive to have painted. Well, think again. Bring it to Mako here in Reading and get a professional paint job. Mako also has interest-free loans for up to a year OAC. Mako, America's Body Shop, 3045 Crossroads Drive. Uh-oh, better call Mako, 226-0992. Call Mako for uncompromised quality, quick turnaround times, and all work is backed by the National Mako Warranty. Right now, buy a one-year extended warranty, get an extra year free. Or buy a two-year warranty and get an extra year free. Mako, America's Body Shop. Stop by your local Mako at 3045 Crossroads Drive or call 226-0992. Uh-oh, better call Mako, 226-0992.
Come on in the Black Bear Diner where the portions are bear-sized and the service makes you feel at home. With breakfast served all day, anytime's right to dig into our one-of-a-kind sweet cream pancakes, Bear Benedicts, or generous sides of thick-cut bacon and tantalizing sausage patties, house-made from our signature recipe. Whenever you do breakfast, do it at Black Bear Diner, because around here, every plate comes with heaping helpings of happiness. Black Bear feels like
home. The average adult is issued 32 troopers that with proper care and just a little discipline should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
Hi, I'm Robin Fader, co-executive director of the Reading Fashion Alliance. We are hosting the 2019 Reading Fashion Week starting September 6th with a trunk show at Carousel Boutique. The fashion show gala featuring several local fashion designers and models is happening September 7th at the downtown Reading atrium. We are featuring a fashion lounge, DJ, drinks, and hors d'oeuvres. Support small businesses in Reading on Shop Local Night, September 12th from 4 to 8 p.m. We will wrap up Reading Fashion Week with an opening reception for the iconic fashion exhibit at Turtle Bay Exploration Park, featuring designer fashion from the collection of Alita Carpenter on September 13th from 6 to 9 p.m. We have so many great events. Get tickets and more information at www.readingfashionalliance.org. We can't wait to see you at Reading Fashion Week, beginning September 6th.
With an unlimited and secure supply of pleasure sticks available for the general to enjoy, it's time for National Cigar Litation Maneuvers.
Well, that is the CBS NFL theme. The NFL season kicked off Thursday, really gets underway tomorrow. Full slate of games, 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock Eastern time, and then the game on NBC in prime time. And in our second hour, we'll be joined for the full hour by Chris Landry of LandryFootball.com, our NFL 2019 preview. Looking forward to talking football in the second hour. Mick DeBritt joins us later on in this half hour. But I have just pulled out a special cigar to accompany a special libation. It is the start of National Bourbon Heritage Month. And here on the Cigar Dave Show, the entire month of September, we celebrate bourbon whiskey, and we celebrate American whiskey. Bourbon, as you know, is a quintessential American spirit. It must be produced in the United States, not necessarily in Kentucky, and must have at least 51% corn stored in new charred oak barrels. There are other requirements we will get into, but suffice it to say, every single bourbon is whiskey, but not every whiskey is a bourbon, but we will be enjoying some great American whiskeys and bourbon whiskeys throughout the month. But first, I have just pulled up from my humidor a very beautiful and incredibly aromatic cigar. It is the Drew Estate Kentucky Fire Cured. Now, why Kentucky? Well, we know most bourbon comes from the state of Kentucky. There are more bourbon barrels being aged. I sound like Joe Biden there for a second. There are more bourbon barrels being aged in Kentucky than there are residents of Kentucky. Interesting little factoid you may not have known. So in honor of Kentucky and Kentucky bourbon, this Drew Estate Kentucky Fire Cured cigar, what makes this cigar very unique is that there are two fire cured cigar tobacco leaves from Kentucky and Virginia. They are hung in specially constructed curing barns, and they are imbibed with, it imbibes the leaf with a rich, smoky, slightly sweet flavor. You've got an incredible oily San Andreas Maron wrapper, beautiful Maduro. The filler also includes Nicaraguan and Brazilian Matafina long fillers. Incredible cigar, reasonably priced. I pull out the Fat Molly, a Robusto 5 inches in length with a 56 ring gauge, or 56/64 of an inch in diameter. About $5.50, $6 suggested retail. Some nice smoky sweet flavors. I mean, I can just smell the smokiness as soon as I pulled it out of the humidor. A beautiful cigar. It was one of our Cigar Dave Officers Club selections a while back. A magnificent cigar that I will enjoy today.
Cigar-altering and highly sharpened leaf-exposing device.
Self-sharpening double-edged stainless steel guillotine ready for action.
Maximum BTU flame-throwing and heat-producing apparatus.
We call this lighter from the Cigar Dave R&D Laboratories the CO2 Buster. Why? Because it emits tons of flame, massive amounts of carbon dioxide just to tick off the vegans, to tick off the climate change kooks and crazies. Oh, yeah. Listen to all that fuel being burned. Bernard Sanders would not be happy. Kamala Harris would not be happy. Lizzie Warren would not be happy. Pete Buttigieg would not be happy. All the Dems wouldn't be happy, and I couldn't be more thrilled.
Cigar pre-litation checklist complete. No faults detected. Area clear of all enemies of pleasure. Approval to go throttle up in 3, 2, 1.
Perfect cut. As always, let me toast the foot of this cigar. Now, this has 4 jet flames coming out of this CO2 massive tank. And we purposely set the engineers, the guys in their white lab coats with the pocket protectors, they purposely made the initial setting so high as to burn as much fuel as possible. And this thing is hot. This is like a welder's torch. So I'm going to toast the foot of my Kentucky fire-cured Drew Estate. Great aromas. Let me puff and rotate. Great draw, great taste. Wow. Master flavor. Unique. One thing about Jonathan Drew and Drew Estate, they're not afraid to go outside the box, to be creative. That's what they built their company on, creativity. And this Kentucky Fire Cured is certainly very creative. Great cigar. Now I need something to accompany me on this very important National Bourbon Heritage Month.
Scotch, bourbon, and beer. Commence thirst-quenching libationary maneuvers.
Well, we go from Kentucky with my cigar down to Tennessee for some great Tennessee whiskey. About 4 or 5 years ago, I was privileged to spend several days at the Jack Daniel's Distillery in Lynchburg, Tennessee. And I spent a day with Jeff Arnett, the master distiller of Jack Daniel's. He doesn't do that with anybody. Normally, he'll spend a little bit of time the whole day. We went to the various barrel houses. We went through the process of distilling Jack Daniel's. We selected various barrels from different rickhouses in various areas. Started with about 35 different single barrels to taste. Narrowed it down to about 6, then to 3, and then down to 1. And it became the Jack Daniel's Single Barrel Select, specially selected for certified alpha males by Cigar Dave, the General, yours truly. I've got one and an eighth bottle or a 16th bottle left. I'm going to open this. Incredible aroma. We specifically picked this barrel because it had some very unique flavors, a little bit of sweetness, a little bit of oakiness. It is barrel number 15-4880. This was bottled on September 3rd, 2015. So just about 4 years, just over 4 years ago, 4 years and a couple of days. So this was available exclusively in Florida at about 10-12. Initially, it was going to be slated for about 20-24 ABC wine and liquor stores. We did an event at one in Tampa at their flagship store in the South Tampa area, and I think we sold through about 60% of the inventory. I think it made it to two other stores, and it was sold out. And you could actually even get the bottle engraved. It was very cool. So let me take a sip of this. And I think it was about $45 a barrel, or correction, $45 to $50 a bottle. Let me say cheers. Wow, incredible sweetness, vanilla, little maple on the nose. Some nice warmth, little sizzle on the tongue. Definite vanilla, little citrus, little orange peel. Fantastic. And to be Tennessee whiskey, it must be charcoal filtered. An additional filtering process that they don't do in Kentucky, whereby the whiskey, as it comes out of, before it goes into the barrel, the whiskey is, actually, it is after it goes out of the barrel. So it comes out of the barrel, and then what happens is it goes through big charcoal vats, and the corns, the oils, bleed off. So you get incredible smoothness and sweetness, and the Gentleman Jack does that twice. Fantastic. So I've got my Drew Estate Kentucky Fire Cured Cigar, perfect accompaniment with my Jack Daniel's Single Barrel Select that I specifically selected 4 years ago. All right, before we get to Mick the Brit in the next segment, I want to go back to the CNN Town Hall. Now, they are banning everything. Now, I told you way back, the enemies of pleasure would not stop at cigars. I've been preaching this. I've been telling you this. I said they're not going to stop at cigars. They're going to make it not only so difficult for us to buy cigars, we'll have de facto prohibition. We're already seeing it. And I said when they're done with cigars, they'll find another target. What was the next target? Soda. Then after that, they were going to come after straws and plastic bags. And now enemies of steak, EOSs, EOMs, enemies of meat. Why? Because they say that the cows across the globe contribute 15% of CO2 emissions because of the cow flatulence and the CO2 emissions and all the other nonsense. Now, never mind, all these candidates are saying we need to get to zero emissions in the United States in the next 10 years or we're going to be in trouble. If we eliminated every CO2 emission in this, man-made CO2 emission in this country today, it would have a negligible effect. It would be literally 0.00001 effect of any carbon dioxide emissions, any CO2 emissions. It wouldn't contribute to the climate change in any way, shape, or form. And by the way, how come we had hurricanes that were of incredible magnitude in the late 1800s, early 1900s, before there were cars on the road, and there was the industrialized civilization we live in today? China and India are the biggest polluters and emitters of carbon, CO2, carbon dioxide in the country, or in the world. Was it carbon monoxide? Whatever it is, CO2, in the world, not the country, in the world. And China, under the Paris Accords that they all talk about and rave about, would have 10 years to do whatever they want. They don't have to come in compliance for at least 10 years. They can spew as much emissions as they want. This is a manufactured, nonsensical problem. Do we all want to breathe clean air? Sure, absolutely. But the banning of meat, this is nothing more than an authoritarian takeaway of our rights to decide what we want to eat, how we want to live our lives. It is nothing more than authoritarian rule. Remember, all these Democrats want to create a crisis, got a crisis, an existential threat, and everybody believes it. And everybody therefore says, great, I'm willing to solve the crisis, this existential threat, by handing over control of my life to you, you government officials, you small number of bureaucrats, large number of bureaucrats. I will be a dumb lemming. I will do whatever you say. And I will pay more taxes. Why? Because it is not only just an authoritarian power grab, it is also a wealth transfer grab. That's it. But I've never seen Democrat candidates absolutely rolling over like dead dogs, as I did on Wednesday evening. Perfect example, Kamala Harris. A question was asked by an attorney by the name of Caroline Courson. She is from France originally, I believe. Asking Kamala Harris if she would change the dietary guidelines. That is code for banning meat. Let's listen to the question.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR. Now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family-owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than mainstream media soundbites.
We'll bring you experts on politics, national security, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. We the People Radio here at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
My diet. I have not personally consume any soda. Now, I do have some soda that uses stevia, but I do not use anything with NutraSweet or Equal or saccharin or anything else. Cut it all out 3 years ago. Water, lemon water, sparkling waters, I cut it all out. But that was my decision. I don't need the government to tell me that. I made that decision. But I get a kick out of her saying that we could go on and on. We could talk about soda. We could talk about sugar. And she does go on and on. She wants to get the government involved. Take a listen.
But I'll also say this. The balance that we have to strike here, frankly, is about what government can and should do around creating incentives and then banning certain behaviors. I mean, just to be very honest with you, I love cheeseburgers from time to time. Right? I mean, I just do.
Ah, so she loves cheeseburgers. Notice how the way she says it is almost apologetically. Look, I love cheeseburgers. I just do. So what she says is that the government should create incentives rather than banning. No. The government incentives are going to be we're going to tax whatever product we don't want you to eat or consume. That's their incentive. Now, she'll say, oh, I love cheeseburgers. I just do. They all say that. Oh, look, I love, like Bernie Sanders. Look, I do love meat. He said it. He said, I do love meat. So what they're going to do is ban meat for everyone else, but not ban it for themselves.
And I think that, but there has to be also what we do in terms of creating incentives that we will eat in a healthy way, that we will encourage moderation, and that we will be educated about the effect of our eating habits on our environment. And we have to do a much better job of that, and the government has to do a much better job of that.
No, we don't need government doing a much better job. We need government out of the picture. Remember, this is the same government that told Americans, dump butter. Butter's bad for you. Butter has fat. Go to margarine, much safer. Margarine loaded with trans fat, responsible for more cardiac coronary artery disease than butter ever did. They're the ones that came up with this food pyramid. Lots of carbohydrates, lots of sugar, lots of this and that. Forget it. I don't want the government in my pantry. I don't want them in my refrigerator. I certainly don't want them in my grill. And I'll keep eating burgers. I'll keep eating meat. She'll keep eating meat, but she doesn't want you and I to do it. Continue.
So, I mean, I'm just saying, you love cheeseburgers. I mean, we all do. I don't know whether
you know, from time to
try
time,
the Beyond Burger,
pay,
the Impossible Burger, right? They try, but it's not quite the same. That's my personal opinion. But would you support changing the dietary guidelines? The food pyramid. What people are trying to reduce red meat specifically.
Yes, I would.
There you go. She wants to ban it. Bingo. But she'll still eat it, and all the other bureaucrats and all the other authoritarian government officials will eat it. But remember, they're taking the power and decision-making away from you. And by the way, if the climate, this existential threat that we need to do something immediately or the earth is going to overheat and the oceans are going to rise and sea levels are going to impact, they're going to wipe out the coast, then answer me this. Why is Barack Obama purchasing a waterfront, oceanfront home on Martha's Vineyard, which, by the way, is like 3 feet above sea level? If he was so worried about climate change, then I can tell you one thing. He would not be buying that house, but he is. Again, do as I say, not as I do.
Never miss a minute of the show when you download the Cigar Dave mobile app for Apple, Android, and Kindle devices. You can listen to our 24/7 continuous stream of the latest show or download the recent podcasts to listen to anytime on your mobile device. Get the Cigar Dave mobile app in the App Store. Search Cigar Dave.
America is under attack. Basic freedoms, privileges, and acts that we would normally take for granted are disappearing each day, including the simple ability to enjoy a cigar. This is Glenn Loop, Executive Director of Cigar Rights of America, CRA. At a time when elected officials should be thinking about education, public safety, and creating jobs, they are actually thinking about smoking bans, new taxes, and regulations of historic proportions on premium cigars. The cigars that provide us with pleasure, relaxation, and fellowship are under attack. We have to stop it. That's why Cigar Rights of America was created, to work for a new political day for cigar enthusiasts across America, to roll back restrictive laws and defeat onerous taxes and regulations that impact everyone, from your local cigar shop to your personal humidor. For the price of a few great cigars, be a part of this effort to protect your right to enjoy a cigar without excessive taxation and cumbersome legislation. Go to CigarRights.org. Let's tell the government we've had enough. Join now, CigarRights.org.
The selections in the Cigar Dave Officers Club receive rave reviews from our members, and for good reason. We send out fantastic cigars, the latest and greatest to our members, new cigars, unique cigars, incredible vertical samplers of cigars, and we have a great selection for September 2019. We are featuring the Plasencia Alma del Campo. It is a beautiful Nicaraguan puro, Nicaraguan wrapper, filler, and binder. The wrapper is a beautiful milk chocolatey brown wrapper with some nice notes of cocoa, cedar, some beautiful notes of coffee. Your taste buds will absolutely love the Plasencia Alma del Campo. Become a member of the Cigar Dave Officers Club and get great cigars every month. Three great cigars like the Plasencia Alma del Campo sent directly to you. Go to CigarDave.com, click on Officers Club, and join my Officers Club and enjoy great cigars.
Don't go anywhere. Cigar Dave is back in 2 minutes. just one more minute until Cigar Dave returns. Your five-star general is back in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Let's ban everything. Let's ban fossil fuels. Let's ban fracking. Let's ban nuclear. Let's ban coal. Let's ban natural gas. Let's ban meat. Let's ban straws. Let's ban the whole planet and we'll solve the climate change crisis. Baloney. Nothing more than an authoritarian power grab. But let's all hold hands. Sing Kumbaya and we'll solve the problem. I want you to listen to this question. This is a 27-year-old student by the name of Isaac Larkin. I think he's a PhD student, I want to say Northwestern, I think in the Midwest. Now, this CNN climate change debate occurred in New York, so I'm wondering how this guy got there. Did he walk? Did he bicycle? Did he fly on an airplane? Because chances are the method of transportation used fossil fuel. But listen to this anger this kid has as he asked Joe Biden a question.
Hit it. Senator Biden, I'm 27 years old. Half of all greenhouse gas emissions ever generated by the entire history of human civilization have been released in my lifetime. This despite the now well-documented fact that 40 years ago, scientists at Exxon and Shell knew and reported to their bosses that burning fossil fuels was warming the planet and would destabilize the climate. Fossil fuel corporations, their executives, their trade and industry organizations, and their think tank front groups have waged a decades-long campaign of lying to the public about the science. And it has brought us to a crisis that threatens the entire human race.
He goes on to say that fossil fuel executives committed crimes against humanity. This is what we are dealing with, these people that are brainwashed. And to compare climate change to crimes against humanity, what Adolf Hitler did, the Nazis did, please, total stretch. And Biden goes on to say, yeah, we got to get rid of fossil fuels, got to get rid of fossil burning cars. It is ridiculous. We can get rid of every car, replace it with electric. How are you going to charge them? You need more electric power stations. Doesn't work. NFL football preview with Chris Landry is next.
Did you know that the city of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
Get your car squeaky clean at Quick and Clean Car Wash in downtown Reading. Quick and Clean Car Wash on the corner of Market Street and Eureka Way next to Dutch Bros is open 7 days a week. Fast and convenient, you don't even have to get out of your vehicle. And they even towel dry your vehicle. They accept cash or card with no extra charge. Quick and Clean Car Wash located at 1210 Market Street, downtown Reading. 530-243-4211.
No one plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need to get treated.
not seated. Shasta Regional Medical Center is located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Reading. They have emergency room doctors and staff that guarantee you will be seen by a medical professional within 30 minutes of your arrival. Shasta Regional Medical Center believes in delivering patient-centered health care with compassion and respect for every patient and their family.
Death toll in the Bahamas from Hurricane Dorian now up to 43. Search and rescue teams still trying to reach some communities.
Despite sunshine and blue skies, Prime Minister Hubert Minnis describes it as an hour of darkness for the Bahamas. Hundreds of people continue to wait for transport off the devastated island of Abaco on vessels arriving with aid. While volunteers fan out distributing those supplies.
Food, baby. Diapers and wipes.
But Dion Clare adds,
we're also helping evacuate people off the island.
And it's been bad on the island of Grand Bahama, too.
Ben Thomas reporting. Dorian arrived on Canada's Atlantic coast today with heavy rain and powerful winds. 300,000 people in the Halifax area without power. And its residents are being told to hunker down and secure their belongings. The Trump administration said to be weighing a reduction in the number of refugees to be allowed into the United States.
Sources inside the Trump administration say there are discussions about reducing the cap on foreign refugees because of the large number of asylum seekers at the U.S.-Mexico border and people from other countries trying to escape war and natural disasters. Some advisors want the number to be 15,000 or fewer, cutting in half the current cap of 30,000. One source says there's a meeting early this coming week on that topic. Because of tighter screening requirements by the Trump administration, there have been fewer refugee admissions since 2017. But the White House says the U.S. remains at the forefront of countries helping people fleeing persecution. Jackie Quinn, Washington.
News and analysis at townhall.com.
Guys, waking up over and over to urinate is not okay. But now, you can reduce those nighttime bathroom trips with the ingredients in Super Beta Prostate P3 Advanced. We're talking about less urges to urinate at night, less bathroom trips during the day, and better bladder emptying.
It's like taking three prostate supplements in one.
You can try a full 30-day bottle of P3 Advanced, free. Just pay shipping and handling. No strings attached, no obligations, and no commitments to buy. This is a 30-day supply, absolutely free.
Call 1-800-424-7126.
Super Beta Prostate is the best-selling brand in major retailers like Walmart. But for this no-strings-attached free bottle, you must call now.
Call 1-800-424-7126.
Don't miss out on this unprecedented free offer.
1-800-424-7126. 1-800-424-7126.
It has taken a very long time, but Canada finally has its first Grand Slam singles champion.
When she was 16, Bianca Andreescu wrote herself a fake U.S. Open winner's check. She received the real thing after she defeated Serena Williams for her first U.S. Open title. The 19-year-old became the first Canadian to win a Grand Slam and the first woman to win the trophy in her main draw tournament debut.
I've been through a lot in my short career, not only with injury, but with relationships and just, like, off-court stuff. So I'm just really, really glad that I never gave up on my dreams.
Andreescu's victory prevented Williams from capturing her 24th major title, which would have tied Margaret Court's record. Williams gave the young Canadian a scare in the second set after she went up 5-1 by taking four straight games. Andreescu bared down to take the final two games and the tournament. Prior to the U.S. Open, Andreescu had appeared in just three Grand Slams. Christian Arnold, New York.
Be sure to check out breaking news and analysis. They're both at townhall.com. An Ohio prison inmate's writing published in Biker magazine cited by police and charging him with the shooting death of a motorist found along the Pennsylvania Turnpike in 1972.
75-year-old Larry Joseph Beyer was charged with criminal homicide and robbery and the death of Morgan Peters, who had been shot in the back. Beyer is serving a life sentence in the Marion Correctional Institute for a killing that occurred shortly after Peters' body was found in September 1972. The 29-year-old Peters, a married father who lived in Bay Shore, New York, had been in Pennsylvania on a work trip. He was seen getting onto the turnpike to go west from Carlisle toward Latrobe. Patrick Foss reporting.
The Kennedy Center unveiling a massive new expansion designed to redefine the iconic performing arts complex and transform the relationships between audience and artist. The $250 million expansion, dubbed The Reach, opening September 7th. That's a Saturday. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
Football is life. Get in the game. Catch your favorite team on any screen inside Elements. Score more on our stadium snack menu. Half off during the game. Nowhere else in town offers this. More football fun. Play hard. Win easy. 49er tickets up for grabs all season long. Some people talk football. We live it at Wind River Resort and Casino. Details at WindRiver.com.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearms specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard to find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
To the world of cigars, spirits, and diversions. The Cigar and Pleasure Friendly Hotlines are open. 877-DAVE-007. Now, fire up a cigar and pour yourself a cocktail. It's time for the General Cigar Dave.
College football has started. The National Football League, I loosely say started, two nights ago. A great time of year. Weather starts to get a little cooler, although you'd never know it here in the Cigar City of Tampa. Hot, humid, very sticky, but you can feel autumn in the air. You can smell it. You can taste it. You can hear it. Football is back. We have done our college football preview with the great Lee Corso of ESPN, and we have a great guest that will join us in this hour, Chris Landry of LandryFootball.com. As we review all the various changes in the National Football League, a lot of coaching changes. We'll look at player changes. We will break it down for you. So whatever your favorite team may be, you will know exactly where they are positioned for the start of the 2019 NFL season. And it is a pleasure to welcome Chris Landry joining us from the Landry Lab somewhere in the Bayou of Louisiana, who scouts NFL, college, glued to umpteen TVs, breaks it down probably better than anyone else. Chris, great to have you on once again this year.
Dave, good to be with you and, talking with you. And I know it's football season now, so I'm really excited to be with you.
Chris, let me ask you, you've been a scout. I want to go over your background a little bit. But what do you do in the off season? Just still stay in the Landry Lab and just review tape nonstop?
Yeah. I'm laughing because there is no off season. Once the playing portion of the season is over, it's nonstop because, at LandryFootball.com, we break down, obviously, the college game, the pro game. So there's college recruiting going on. As you know, as the season goes on, just like it mimics really what NFL teams and college programs do. So if you think about it, once the season is over, everyone's getting ready to make decisions in the NFL game about free agency, the draft. And so all of that, and again, in the college level, it's recruiting and spring practice. So it's probably even busier, let's say, February, March, April, in terms of a lot of different things involving the player procurement part of football, college and NFL. So it's because there's so much movement, keeping track and analyzing how the fit is or not a good fit. All those coaching moves that take place, as you know, in college from like December and January, that's big. And then so I always say that is a busy time because it's kind of trying to take, you spill a pill bottle of vitamins and you try to put them all back and figure out where they all are and put it all together. And then obviously after the draft is over, May, June, and July, it's really getting ready for the football season, kind of assessing everything because – as you know, the movement of players continues, so that you're not really fully settled in terms of where everybody's landed until about May. And then you really we spend a lot of time breaking down, getting ready for the season. I go back and look at film from last year to make sure that all my film grade notes are where they need to be, so that when the football season starts right now, I can just focus, you know, head on forward for this football season. So it is 12 months, 7 days a week.
Well, you began your career as a student assistant at LSU in the mid-'80s, and eventually you worked up to a full-time position, and you were hired in 1992 by one Bill Belichick with the Cleveland Browns. And there was an interesting article in Sports Illustrated that I went back to that was published about a year ago, talking about the association, the close association between Bill Belichick and Nick Saban. And Saban was Belichick's defensive coordinator, but the number of big names that developed under Bill Belichick, Cleveland and Berea, Ohio, at their training facility, you, Kirk Ferentz, I mean, just the names go on and on and on of people that are in college, that are in pro today.
I think I could probably speak for everyone, safely say, because I know all those guys, that they owe an awful lot. We all owe an awful lot to Bill Belichick and what we learned under him. And, you know, when you're in the bowels of working day in and day out, you could not have thought, well, this is what's going to happen 20 years from now, and things grew. I spent a relatively short time under him before I moved on and ran the scouting combine. But obviously I maintain an association, still have one with them, that kind of has come full circle, because then I went on to Houston to run the Oilers scouting department, then Tennessee when we moved there. But we all learned an awful lot. And, you know, at the time I wasn't sure. I got hired at a lower level position in Cleveland initially, and the interview was something, you know, normally think about this. If you want to put it in perspective, detail of Bill Belichick is, how many CEOs of a company is going to sit there and spend 7 hours interviewing maybe somebody that's working, what would be the equivalent, working in the mailroom or something, you know, an intern? That's what I went through. Now, as I learned, I ended up getting hired for a different position when I got there, because he immediately kind of decided to put me at another spot working in quality control under him in coaching and in scouting. But that gives you the idea of no stone unturned. He won't do anything that he doesn't ask his people involved. And that's why he's produced so many good people, because he trains coaches and, I think, personnel people. I think scouting is what he does the best. His evaluation of talent is even better than his coaching. I think all of us that have been kind of touched by him, we owe a debt of gratitude. I can still envision today, I know it's been a while, but it seems like yesterday to me, I'm sitting there at this, you know, table in a staff room, and he's there to the right at the head of the table, and right across from me, directly across, is Nick Saban. And I often, you know, think, well, how lucky do I have to be to probably, when you look at it, the greatest pro football coach and the greatest college football coach ever right there. I mean, just to be a witness to that. And I came from Bill Orangebarger, who was, you know,
Don
Shula's great defensive coordinator,
right,
who invented the 3-4 defense. So I've been really blessed, and it's certainly not me, but being around some of the people I've been, that's just helped me to kind of move on and go into the direction that I've gone.
Great Bill Orangebarger story. I was I'm trying to remember where I was. I was at I think it was a college football game. It was Syracuse, because I went to Syracuse, and I believe at the time Orangebarger was with Florida. And so I am waiting in the concession area for something, and I turn around, and Bill Orangebarger is behind me. The guy was in a coat, you know, he had the Florida colors. And I turned around, I said, "Bill Orangebarger, what are you doing in line?" He said, "Same thing you're doing in line, waiting to get a soda." And I chit-chatted with him and mentioned I was a Bills fan. And he said, oh, yeah, we played Bills, you know, because, again, with Don Shula, and they just cleaned the Bills' clocks for a long, long time until the 80s. But it's amazing when you look back. You mentioned, Chris, that you were hired as a low-level position at Cleveland. Let me tell you some of the other guys that were hired in low-level positions who have now pretty well-known. Scott Pioli, Mike Tannenbaum, yep. Jim Schwartz, Kirk Ferentz, Thomas Dimitroff, Eric Mangini, Phil Savage, yep. Mike Lombardi. There's just a list of Ozzie Newsome, tons of names. And what's interesting is people said as good of a coach as Bill Belichick was, his father – was, if he had the chance to be a head coach, probably would have been a better head coach because he was really revered in college football and around football circles, both pro and college. Spent many years at Navy.
Yeah, Coach Belichick, Steve Belichick, spent a lot of time with us in Cleveland, and I got to know him and pick his brain a little bit. When I first got there, he was actually doing some initial work, scouting work, for the staff, and you know, I guess Bill had, you know, just tapped into him. I don't think he didn't hire him and didn't pay. He offered some advice, and having, you know, particularly over, we didn't have sit down dinners. You ate while you worked, but there were times where I was able to pick his brain. What a brilliant football coach he was, and he actually settled in at the Navy because he wanted some stability for young Bill and his wife. He could have moved on and had plenty of job offers, but you know how the coaching profession was. He moved around and around and around. In fact, when Coach Belichick and his wife had Bill, he was an assistant at Vanderbilt, which at the time was a great football program. And Bill was actually born in Nashville. He didn't spend any time there. That staff got let go, and so that's where he ended up moving to Navy, and he settled in, and that's where Bill learned. And Bill would go in and, you know, with his dad and watch film, and his dad kind of showed him what to do. And he actually, Bill was throwing footballs with Roger Staubach in practice in Navy at the day. So, yeah, he grew up around the game, and, yeah. And all those guys that you mentioned, many of them were office mates of mine.
That's
so.
Right.
Yeah, it was an interesting group, and I'd love to sit here and tell you, oh, yeah, I knew all the – this guy would be here, this guy – you didn't know. You just – everybody was just trying to make it and survive to be back tomorrow.
There you go. Chris Landry of LandryFootball.com joins us from the Landry Lab in – or you're in Baton Rouge, aren't you?
Baton Rouge, yes, sir.
Baton Rouge. You know, one of my favorite coaches – again, I mentioned that I went to Syracuse. Ed Orgeron, you know, Ed was kind of out of football, had some issues after Miami. And the guy that threw him a lifeline was Paul Pasqualoni and brought him in, I believe, as the defensive line coach. He was at Syracuse, I want to say, 3-4 years.
He was.
And really did a great job. That's when Syracuse was really a top 10, top 15 program. And I think Dino Babers is doing a good job bringing it back. But Ed was talked about being possibly the head coach at Syracuse a number of years ago after they got rid of Scott Schaefer, and I would have loved it because he was a, you know, I'd see him around campus. He was just a very outgoing, charismatic guy, and he said, you know, Syracuse, I've got a very soft spot in my heart for Syracuse, and I think he's a great coach. He gets a lot of, you know, heat. LSU's not an easy place to coach, but I thought he should have gotten the USC job, but to me, he's one of the better coaches in college football.
Well, here's an interesting story because Ed was on Les Miles' staff. He wasn't the head coach at the time when the Syracuse job came open. And he did like Paul Pasqualoni a lot. He learned a lot from recruiting from Paul Pasqualoni. So when the job came open, Ed wanted the job. In fact, we talked about it. And he asked you, you know, and I'm going to do my best, Ed. You know anybody you can call? You know, and I knew the idea, and I called, and then so anyway, I did make a couple calls, and I found out they were going to hire the Bowling Green coach, Dino Babers. So I said, I'm not laughing at Ed, not getting it, but this is funny. So I called Ed, and I said, yeah, look, I did, and, you know, where are you? And I think they got your stuff, you know, but I think they got their guy. I said, I think they're going to go with Dino Babers of Bowling Green. Oh! And who that? You know, he literally who that? I said, yeah, it was, he's really good. You know, I told him he didn't know, but no, Ed's a really good guy. And you know, in retrospect, it's funny how things work out, don't they? Because, yeah, he would have loved the USC job. He would have loved the chance to maybe go back to Syracuse. And then as things work out, you know, he ends up at LSU where it is, you know, Ed went to LSU, and he stayed at LSU for about 2 weeks as a player. And he's when I tell you he's from a small town in the Hicks, I mean, you can't – you look north, south, east, and west, and you can't see the land. I mean, it's near the – it's the place that when you say – and this is not a nice time to say this, as we've seen Hurricane Dorian do her damage and everything. We all, like you guys are in Florida, are well aware of the storms that come in. When sure. they come out of the Gulf – and they come towards Louisiana, where Ed is from, those folks leave first because, I mean, that's like they
– That's where it's coming.
That's exactly it. But, you know, somebody that – and he went up northwestern Louisiana, a little bit north to play, but this was a dream for him. And for years he wanted to get back as an assistant, did, and things fell on. And ironically, the team he's playing this week, LSU tried to hire Jimbo Fisher from Florida State a couple of times. And the guy they went after when Jimbo turned him down was Tom Herman of Texas. Right. And Tom Herman, you know, basically used the offer as leverage because the Texas job came open when they fired Charlie Strong. And who plays this week but Ed bringing LSU into Austin to play Tom Herman in Texas. So it's funny how life comes full circle. But Ed couldn't be happier at LSU. He is home and – as the folks in Louisiana say, they finally have a head coach who doesn't have an accent.
I'll tell you what, he's got a great personality, and I really thought he should have gotten – they did a great job at the USC, and I thought he got shafted. And as it turned out, they made a not-so-great of a hire, and I think Orgeron would have been a great coach. Well, let's look at the National Football League. Two nights ago, the NFL kicked off its 100th season, and appropriately – Chicago and Green Bay played, and they set the NFL back 100 years in terms of offensive play. It was quite a – I thought it was just not an exciting game. If you love defense, that's great. And clearly Green Bay has improved. Mike Pettine, they brought in four or five key players, big change there. I just am not sold on Chicago. I thought they had a great season last year, but I'm just not sold on their quarterback. I just don't think that he's the guy.
Yeah, I tell you, I think people have concerns about it. He did not play well again. And, you know, people have been asked this morning, hey, was there good defense or bad offense? And it's always a combination of both. I thought defensively both teams had a good game plan, but Mitchell Trubisky missed a lot of throws on a high on a lot of throws. It just, yeah, you look at it, and it is – they've got a roster. They've got the ability to run the football. They've got the ability defensively to be in the race, but – I'm with you. I think the quarterback's going to hold them back, and it's going to be what maybe keeps them out of going a real deep into the playoffs. Now, you'll see them improve to some degree, but, you know, it was a combination of a few things. Let me say this. As a whole, I think, and this is kind of a warning for Sunday and Monday for everybody out there, because folks who sit there and watch their favorite team may not get a good feel for it. I got a feeling what we saw is going to be duplicated quite a bit. Not every game. Dave, the way preseason has been handled, none of these starters, very few of these starters, I should say, played at all.
This is
preseason football. So how much of that last night was rust? How much of that's just a problem? Well, we're not going to know. It's going to take a quarter of the season, and some teams may be a little bit sharper than others, but we see a lot of things that just – you know, that are probably going to be tough to explain in the NFL for week four. You know, not only is maybe some of the tackling may be poor, but offensively, I think we're going to see more of that because the one thing we used to see in preseason, you see a lot of skill position guys on offense play, not so much this year, and I thought it showed last night.
No question about it. And Chris, that brings us into looking at the preseason. I really think it's time to scrap the preseason. Let's go with maybe two more regular season games. Let's get what – I know my Bills practice with the Carolina Panthers for, I think, 3 days before their preseason game. A number of teams are doing joint scrimmages and joint practices. I think that's a better way to go because really, we saw nobody, none of the starters get played the last, really, 2 weeks or so. And why does that, and the stadiums were empty. People aren't watching the games. Go to two more regular season games. It'll make more money for the players, more money for the league in general, and people don't have to watch the garbage preseason.
Well, you know, really, the owners are should be ashamed of themselves for charging fans that part of their season ticket package. The games should be, you know, very, very cheap, and maybe people who, you know, maybe a chance to bring kids to the games. I mean, who can bring, you know, three or four kids to a regular season NFL game? I mean, it's so darn expensive. What an opportunity you could, if you held on to the preseason games, you could do it at a cheaper price and maybe play some games in neutral sites that maybe, you know, don't get a chance to see pro football. I think that when they take a couple of games away, probably what you're going to see is more scrimmages, as you've kind of alluded to, which you can get your work done. Here's the thing, though. It's going to have to be collectively bargained because it is going to bring about more of a restructuring of, you know, the money's going to be greater. You're going to get more money. You got two more regular season games, more money from TV, so that needs to be split. And that I don't think the players are going to want it, because here's the thing about adding two more regular season games. They preach out of one side of their mouth, safety, 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 right. Safety. And then we're going to add two more games. And oh, by the way, yeah, we still play the Thursday night games, which to me, I think the bigger issue with the league, if they were smart, they would make the NFL season a 20-week season. Not 18 games, 16 games, but 20 weeks. Have multiple byes. You're going to play a Thursday night game. It's always coming off of a bye. It extends the season a couple more weeks. So you still could get more money from the networks because they have two more weekends of football, actually like four. So you can get more money out of it. Now, you would have more buys in the middle of the season, but you could do that. That's what I would like to see. It would be a little bit of a problem with the DirecTV commitment because then you'd have a lot, you'd have more weekends where not all the teams are playing. And so that package would maybe take a little bit of a hit. But if you looked at it, you could still make more money financially. And you would be a little safer, and you would have a longer season. You'd have a couple of weeks where your favorite team wouldn't be playing. They'd be on byes. But that would be something I would consider. Playing 18 games when I think 16 is pushing it is not something I'm in favor of. But follow the money, Dave. And when you follow the money. Yeah, amen.
Well, Chris, I'll compromise with you. I like the idea of 20 weeks, but instead of 18 games – you want 16, I say 18. Let's do 17 over 20 weeks. We'll call it a deal.
Hey, done. I'll make the phone call when we get off. We'll see if we can make that happen.
Chris Landry of LandryFootball.com, Twitter, Facebook, Landry Football. Great website if you are a football fanatic. Chris breaks it down, college, pro, better than anybody else. Tons of information. His podcasts are fantastic. We'll continue with Chris in our NFL 2019 preview. Right around the corner. Football has arrived.
The Cigar Dave Officers Club selection for September is the Plasencia Almadel Combo. This complex smoke is creamy with a touch of spice. The Plasencia Almadel Combo has notes of coffee and nuts while leaving a lasting impression on your palate. Want these cigars shipped directly to you each month? Log on to CigarDave.com to join the Officers Club.
In 1964, Jose O. Padron began rolling cigars bearing his name in modest surroundings with one guiding principle: always focus on quality, never on quantity. Nearly 40 years later, Padron cigars are recognized for their superior taste and majestic construction, the result of Padron controlling all aspects of the cigar-making process, including planting their own seeds, growing and curing their own tobacco, and constantly supervising the rolling room. To Wall Street, it is called vertical integration. To the Padron family, it's called making great cigars. The Padron lines include the Padron 1964 Anniversary Series and the Padron Traditional line. All Padron cigars are wrapped in Nicaraguan sun-grown Habano tobacco, available in natural or maduro. Experience Padron. For your Padron retailer, call 1-800-453-5635. When Padron is on the band, quality is a matter of family honor.
Surgeon General warning. Tobacco use increases the risk of infertility, stillbirth, and low birth.
Have you been looking to purchase or refinance a home? Allow the team at Omega Mortgage Group to show you why so many of your friends and family, realtors, and escrow officers refer their clients to Omega Mortgage Group. Our low rates, simple application, fast escrows, and outstanding service really speak for themselves. Contact Omega Mortgage Group today at 223-1400 or visit us at omglending.com. Omega Mortgage Group is an equal housing lender. NMLS ID number 1253874.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge with Brad Dacus.
After criticism from an LGBT activist, Amazon.com has removed books containing personal testimonies of formerly gay individuals. No longer sold on their site are writings that help people who struggle with transgenderism or same-sex attraction.
Stay informed on religious freedoms. Receive our weekly email newsletter, The Legal Insider, at pji.org.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
The National Football League has officially kicked off its 100th season. Big lineup of games coming up Sunday. Chris Landry of LandryFootball.com joins us to break it down. Chris, before we go into the coaching changes and look at the individual divisions, Antonio Brown, Drew Rosenhaus's agent, came out yesterday and said that Antonio Brown wants a good relationship with the Raiders. I think Antonio Brown has worn out his welcome, not even, before the season has even started. And I believe that by probably next week, he will be gone from the Raiders. And I think they've got buyer's remorse. He is between his football or his helmet nonsense and then not showing up to practice and then threatening GM Mike Mayock. I think it's over in Oakland. I think they're done and they're going to not have to pay him a cent.
Well, I always, in my career, it's always been – you know, a theory that when you are dealing with players and they're problematic at another place, there's always someone that thinks I can change him, and very rarely can you change him. If you look at where he was, the Steelers are a very well-run organization. And they're not perfect. They don't win it every year. But how they treat players, how they respect one another, really good. So when he can't get along there and there are problems there, that is a big warning signal. But Raiders, you know, they're, you know, smarter and we can do this. And, oh, man, what was the tone? Oh, man, they stole him from the Steelers. I got to tell you,
right.
As good as he was, the Steelers were going to be prepared to just release him if they had to and eat the cap escalation and just go on with it. They instead got a couple of picks, not high picks, but they got something for him, and they said, good riddance. And as good as he was, we always say in the football world, when the problem is greater than the production, then that's an indicator. So think about this. If you're a guy that is, you know, he's got a little bit of an issue, you know, is not bad, but he's, you know, he's a pretty good player. So the seesaw's in favor of, well, you know, the production and the problem are about the same. You get rid of a guy. How bad of a guy do you need to be as productive as this guy is? Because on the field, this guy's as good a receiver as there is in the league. And if they're willing to get rid of him in Pittsburgh, that tells you what type of problem you're getting into. So now you go into the Raiders where there's not a good front office structure. There's not a good line of communication, not as good of a team, not as good a discipline. What do you think you're going to get? I mean, you're going to get an escalated problem where he's enabled to do even more of what he's done in the past. So I think that they absolutely made a huge mistake, and it was – I could see from early on people were laughing about the helmet issue and all that. Yeah, it might have sounded comical. That's what he was. There's no doubt that he was trying to get out of work at training camp. That's a big part of what he wanted. Yeah, I know he's fighting on his helmet and all that. At the end – he got what he wanted anyway. They didn't acquiesce on the helmet. He's satisfied with the helmet. But, you know, he didn't have to practice. Didn't he? But you're going to fine me? No, I mean, this is what you're dealing with. So whether they decide to get past this and move forward, anybody thinks this is the last we've heard of the problems with the guy? Of course not.
Well, I thought it was interesting that it came out that David Carr, the brother of Raiders quarterback Derek Carr, Thursday
yes.
night on the NFL Network said the team captains met with Gruden earlier in the day to let him know they will back whatever the team decides on Brown. They said they supported him on the helmet. They supported him and tried to defend him. But sooner or later, there comes a time when other players look and say, enough's enough. And I think when the captains met with Gruden saying, whatever you decide, we will move forward and we will support, that speaks volumes. Let's look at some of the head coaches, Chris. A lot of changes that took place in 2019. Some interesting coaching changes. First up, the most fascinating one to me, the Arizona Cardinals bringing in former Texas Tech head coach Cliff Kingsbury.
Well, they think they've got a, you know, brilliant offensive mind that's going to kind of revolutionized with his quarterback of choice, and they think, you know, and there is a lot of it. You certainly see it in Kansas City that a lot of remnants in college, collegiate style of offense. So they think he could do that. I wonder a little bit from a talent standpoint if they're ready to do all the things that he would like to do. And I question whether Cliff is the ideal fit if you want a, you know, brilliant offensive mind. But that is somebody that the general manager, Steve Keim, liked and have known for a while and kind of had his eye on. So we'll see how it'll work. It's one of the weaker rosters in the league. Kyler Murray is an intriguing guy. I think it'll have some success early. I think the inability to be able to line up under center sometimes is going to hurt the overall structure of that offense. And it eventually, once defenses catch up to it, it'll be challenging. But we'll see. They'll get off and running against the Lions this week. It'll be interesting to see what they're able to do with this offense. It's going to be quite intriguing.
Okay, let's briefly look over some of the other head coaches. Cincinnati, former Rams quarterback coach Zach Taylor. We're in 20 seconds. Tell me what you think of him.
Well, good quarterback coach. That's the direction people are going. Obviously trying to fix that. They're, from a talent standpoint, they're fourth in that division, but he's a good young coach that can work with that offense.
Cleveland Browns, former interim offensive coordinator Freddie Kitchens, elevated to head coach. Everybody's now on the Cleveland bandwagon. They're going to win the Super Bowl. Baker Mayfield's going to be the next Hall of Famer. It's over. Lock it up. Give them the Vince Lombardi. Not so fast. I'm not convinced.
Well, Freddie did a really good job as a coordinator when he was promoted, when everything blew up last year, and he had a good relationship and good working relationship with Baker Mayfield and good working relationship with the general manager. That's why he got the job. They've got some talent. I still think the Steelers are the team to beat in the North, but I do think the Browns have enough talent to at least challenge for a playoff spot.
Denver Broncos, former Bears defensive coordinator Vic Fangio.
Well, I love Vic. He's put his dues. Gosh, I remember when he was a linebacker coach at the New Orleans for years in the 80s. And the guy's been doing it for a long time. It's good to see an elder statesman get the job. It's going to be a really good defense. Joe Flacco, what can you give him at the quarterback position? That's going to be the variable that determines whether they're fourth or maybe challenging for the division. This is going to be a really good defensive team, though.
Two nights ago, we saw Green Bay Packers head coach, former Titans offensive coordinator Matt LaFleur. Your initial thoughts?
Well, you know, here's the thing about it, Matt. As again, most of these guys, Vic was not, but most of these guys here are offensive guys. And Matt is going to come in. We'll see how the offense really evolves. They've got a great quarterback that can do a lot of things. How much they change, how much freedom, that's a work in progress. But the roster is good. We'll see how much better that offensive line and that defense will be throughout the course of the season.
AFC East, interesting coaching changes. First up, the Dolphins get rid of Adam Gase. He goes to the Jets. The Dolphins bring in former Patriots defensive coordinator Brian Flores.
Well, you know, the Dolphins with Flores, they're trying to do what a lot of people are doing. Let's pick somebody off the Belichick staff. Let's see how that works.
Right.
Well, we'll see. They're absolutely rebuilding in Miami. I think the moves that they've made, trading Laremy Tunsil over the past week, is an indicator that they're trying to build up draft picks, try to change the culture, and try to rebuild the roster. Adam Gase is interesting. I think Adam is a really bright offensive mind, and he's got a really good quarterback. I think the Jets are an intriguing team. They've got some good players on their defensive front, not so much in the secondary. And I like Sam Darnold a lot, but there are not a lot of playmakers around him. But I do think Adam Gase will do better things with Sam Darnold than he did in Miami because he's got Darnold. So I think it's going to be the Jets and your Bills that are going to be real interesting. Ironically, they play to see who can finish second in the division. As I still don't think anybody's close enough to get the Patriots.
Not so fast, Chris Landry. Not so fast, my friend. We'll get to that
in a few seconds. I knew that would get the hour of you.
That's right. I got a different take on that. And the Tampa Bay Buccaneers bring in former Cardinals head coach Bruce Arians, the quarterback whisperer. Big season for Jameis Winston. This is it. This is the final year of his contract, his rookie deal. I'm not convinced Jameis is going to be the guy.
Well, I'm not either. I think that this is certainly another bite at the apple of, look, well, this is somebody that could fix him if anybody can. Bruce has had really good success. Also work in the vertical game, which can be a strength of Jameis. And let's just call it what it is. Jason Light worked for the Cardinals and knows Bruce, and they've got the connection. So the general manager who drafted Jameis, they're all kind of holding on together. You know, the interesting thing about this is what is the long-range plan in Tampa? You know, not only with the quarterback, where do they go down the road? Is it with Jameis or not? Is this Jason's last stand? Bruce Arians is not going to be coaching the Bucs for very long. I mean, no. he's not one job that he's had as a head coach where he doesn't end up in the hospital. I mean, he's not of the health that's going to be there. I'm not saying it's going to be one and done. But, you know, I think it's 50-50 on whether he's going to be there more than 1 year. If they can get 4 years out of him. Well, yeah, because of his health. I mean, it's those issues. I think he wants to coach. I think he has plans to coach maybe 3 years. But that changes, you know, depending on how he feels at the end of the year and depending on how successful they are. So I think that is one of them that's curious. It's like they're trying to catch lightning in a bottle and hope they can spark things and then kind of figure it out on the run. Because if they can get 3 years out of Bruce, first of all, that would be awesome for Bruce to maybe, you know, have the health be positive enough. But the way he coaches, how he coaches, it's going to be awfully tough to envision him being there 3 years.
All right, Chris Landry of LandryFootball.com, our guest as we break down the NFL 2019 season. In our final and concluding segment just around the corner, we'll break down the divisions and give various predictions and prognostications. I'm just going to end it right here. My Bills, they're going all the way. We'll wrap it up around the corner.
Check out the all-new CigarDave.com. Get info on the cigars and libations the General enjoys during the show. Get recipes from the Pooch Pit and drink cocktails, too. You can listen to the show on our 24/7 stream or download the latest podcast to listen to anytime. Get it all at CigarDave.com.
Hi, I'm Rocky Patel. After 15 years of hard work, I'd like to introduce you to the Rocky Patel 15th Anniversary Cigar made at our factory in Esteli, Nicaragua. This cigar showcases a beautiful, oily Habano wrapper from Ecuador. Fillers from Esteli, Jalapa, and Condega make up a rich, complex, spicy taste with a lot of full flavor. The Decade.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
For over 45 years, Clyde's Home Entertainment is the place people turn to for locally owned expert advice on electronics that turn your home into a theater. Clyde's goes the extra mile for their customers. They have a huge selection of audio and video accessories and equipment. Whether it's the latest 4K television or a hard-to-find accessory, Clyde's is the place for all your home electronic needs. Clyde's is a full-service dealer for Samsung, Klipsch, Yamaha, LG, and more. They offer full-service Dish Network. Be sure to ask about the current monthly specials. The original, and still the best, Clyde's Enterprises, 1250 Hartnell and Reading. They have it all. 221-4144. That's 221-4144. Clyde's.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than mainstream media soundbites.
We'll bring you experts on politics, national security, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. We the People Radio here at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Just one more minute until Cigar Dave returns. Your five-star general is back in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Final segment, as we look at the 2019 NFL season, we've got Chris Landry of LandryFootball.com. You can follow Chris on Twitter, Facebook, Landry Football, the handle. He does 20 different podcasts for NFL, college conferences, national football. So go to LandryFootball.com, subscribe, well worth it. Phenomenal site. If you love football, football junkie, Chris has got the best site out there by far. He breaks it down. Chris, let's break down each division. Let's look at the, we'll start off with the AFC East. Buffalo Bills, Miami Dolphins, New York Jets, New England Patriots. Let's face it, Tom Brady can't play forever. The Bills have done a nice job under Brandon being the general manager and Sean McDermott. They've really got some good draft capital. They've brought in some good players. I think a change is in the air in the AFC East.
Well, there you go. You heard it here first. I will say that I still think until somebody beats him until Brady steps aside or shows signs that he's not it, it's going to happen one year if we keep guessing it, right? I still think New England's the team to beat. I think Miami's the fourth team, and I think it's the Jets and the Bills to fight it out. I do think both of those teams have a shot to be that sixth seed in the AFC. I believe that is possible because like a couple of years ago when the Bills made it, maybe they weren't a playoff caliber team, but there were not six playoff caliber teams that year. I think that possibility that could be the case again this year.
I like that. All right, AFC North, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, the Baltimore Ravens, Pittsburgh Steelers. Sergeant Steve is not going to like this, but, you know, you got to just go with the Steelers until proven otherwise.
Yeah, I think the Steelers are the most complete team. I would give them an edge over Cleveland. I do think Cleveland could stay at the race. I do think Cleveland can challenge, and who knows. I think we're going to see a little drop-off with Baltimore. I don't think their defense is great, and I'm not convinced they're going to have enough of a passing game. And I'd probably put the Bengals kind of right along with Baltimore and kind of in that 3-4 spot.
Let's go to the AFC South. Indianapolis Colts had a curveball thrown at them. Andrew Luck retired. The Jacksonville Jaguars, Houston, Texas, Tennessee Titans. I think the Texans have mortgaged their future. I think that it's either this year or bust for their head coach. So to me, you still have to look. To me, if it were, I still like the Jaguars, especially when they brought in Nick Foles.
You're really on top of it because that's exactly what the Texans have done. Because, I mean, I think they see, all right, look, that division's open. Luck's not there. Tennessee's trying to stabilize the quarterback situation. We don't know where that's going. Jacksonville, if they get good quarterback play, I like the roster. I'm not sure that the locker room is ideal. You know, we'll see there. I think the Texans see that. I think Bill O'Brien's future's at stake. There's no GM there. They've got a good quarterback finally. They've struggled on the offensive line. They've made the moves with that. They're getting older on defense. So I think the Texans are making a move. I think this is wide open. I would probably I'm having a hard time between Houston and Jacksonville and Tennessee and Indianapolis, but I think these teams are a little bit closer, and I don't think the Colts are like going to disappear like most people think, but I don't think they're going to be a contender. I'd probably would have gone with them if Andrew Luck was healthy and playing.
Yeah, Brian Gane gets fired after one season with the Texans. They make the playoffs and goes back to Buffalo. They brought him in as a special, I think, senior advisor scout, but well thought of by most everyone in the league, a very baffling move. Let's go to the AFC West. The Denver Broncos, San Diego Chargers, the Kansas City Chiefs, the Oakland Raiders. First up, you got to give it to the Chiefs. They are the odds-on favorite. Patrick Mahomes, they've got some depth. The Broncos, I'm just not convinced Joe Flacco is going to be even a short-term answer at quarterback. They're still searching.
Yeah, I like Kansas City coming out of training camp even more because the second best team, I think, in that division are the Chargers, and it looks like they're going to be without Melvin Gordon this year. The Chiefs offense is just fantastic. I'm curious to see what Steve Spagnuolo is going to do with the defense. But the Chargers have got a really solid roster, probably a playoff contender as a wild card. I'm with you on Denver. Love the defense. Just concerned about Flacco. I think they could be around that 8-8, 9-7 mark, maybe sniff around playoffs. The Raiders, you know what, for all the chaos, they've got some good young players, but I still kind of look at them near the bottom overall as a roster in this division.
All right, go to the NFC East, the Dallas Cowboys, Philadelphia Eagles, New York Giants, Washington Redskins. To me, the Eagles look like the front runner. Giants in transition. The Redskins, who the hell knows? Cowboys, who knows? But I think the Eagles, again, until proven otherwise, they've got to be the odds-on favorite.
Got the best roster in the division. Carson Wentz stays healthy. That's key. Of course, they don't have Nick Foles now. Four mentions with Jacksonville. If Carson Wentz goes down, he is a really upper-tier quarterback if he can stay healthy. I think the Eagles are a Super Bowl contender if he stays healthy. Dallas would probably be second. The Giants have a little bit more roster questions, and I think the Redskins, from a young quarterback to trying to figure things out, they're really talented on the defensive line, but not a well-constructed overall roster. I think they're clearly fourth in their division.
All right, AFC North, the Bears, the Lions, the Packers, the Vikings. We saw the Bears and the Packers. A lot of it's a tight division. It could go either way. Vikings seem to me could have a chance, but I just think right now the Packers have got to be at the top.
Well, the Packers have Aaron Rodgers, and the play around them is not as good as, say, Chicago and Minnesota, the overall roster, but those quarterbacks are not as good, so it makes it intriguing. Then you got the Lions, who I think are going to be better, but I'm not convinced they're going to get out of the basement in the division. We'll see. I still like the Bears overall. I think they are more complete, really good defensively, really good running game. I trust them a little bit more, but I do recognize that if Aaron Rodgers can stay healthy for 14 weeks and they can figure some things out, they're going to be right there. Minnesota, the quarterback situation, it may be enough to stay in the playoff race, but I don't see a repeat of a couple of years ago where they came awfully close to making the Super Bowl again.
Okay, got a quick minute and 15 seconds. So AFC, or NFC South, the Bucs, the Falcons, Panthers, Saints. I'm looking for the Saints.
Yeah, they're the best team in the division. Stay healthy. I think Atlanta, if they can get back healthy off of last year, they are in contention. I think Carolina, if Cam can stay healthy, I think the Bucs are improved, but still the fourth in terms of a roster look in that division.
Now we go to the NFC West. We talked about the Arizona Cardinals, the Los Angeles Rams, Super Bowl appearance last year. The Seahawks have made some changes. The San Francisco 49ers, question is Garoppolo healthy? Rams still have to be the front runners in the West.
The one thing I know for certain, I feel comfortable in saying the Cardinals will finish fourth. I think the Rams will be challenged by the Seahawks, maybe give a slight edge to the Rams, but I think both of these teams are playoff caliber. And look out for the Niners. I think they are going to be improved. Obviously, if Garoppolo can stay healthy and the job that Kyle Shanahan does, I think they can be a team that straddles around 500, maybe a tad better. So I think they're three solid teams in the West.
Chris, great having you on. As we get closer to the playoffs, we'll have you back on and we'll do a playoff prognostication and preview. We'd love to have you on. You're always a great guest. Chris Landry, LandryFootball.com from the Landry Lab in Baton Rouge. Chris, can't wait to the season, the big games on Sunday. My Bills, they're going to beat the Jets. Look out. I'm telling you, they're going to win the division.
Hey, good luck with that. I appreciate that. And always great to be with you and talking football. Look forward to doing it again real soon.
Chris, you are the best. We appreciate it. Cigar Dave, the general, same here. Humidor always be full. Mayor Cutter always be sharp. Mayor Ashby, extra, extra long. Semper Delectatio, always pleasure. Long live the Alpha. Make America great again. Make masculinity great again. National Football League officially really kicks off.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts, with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find fine ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Hi, this is Linda Bott, and I'm excited to tell you about the first annual Women's Leadership Summit. It's a one-day conference for all women leaders. The summit will focus on supporting women aspiring to step more into their sphere of influence and those who have fully embraced their position as a powerful leader in their community. We're excited to provide a forum to recognize, inform, and champion the work being done by women in this Northern California region. Following the speakers will be your expo pop-up shop from 4 to 6 p.m. with a no-host bar and music by DJ Bobette. Come be inspired at the first annual Women's Leadership Summit. That's September 14th with a pop-up shop in the downtown atrium. For more information about this fabulous event, go to thewomensleadershipsummit.com and see you there.
As well as lingering tensions over the 2016 primary battle between Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton. I'm Julie Walker.
North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper, touring the Outer Banks Saturday after Hurricane Dorian blew through this week, says the people he spoke to expressed one collective thought.
Overall, this could have been much worse for our state. The people who did get flooded and who did get significant wind damage, this is a bad situation for them. But in North Carolina, we're going to pull together.
Cooper reported a second hurricane-related death. A 67-year-old man died Friday in Pamlico County after he collapsed at his home while cleaning up storm debris. Overseas, Chinese state television reporting an earthquake in the country's southwest side killed one person, injured at least 29. The government's Earthquake Monitoring Center says the 5.4 magnitude shaker struck the city of Nijing in Sichuan province early Sunday. And for a 14th week, protesters out in Hong Kong as police and demonstrators clashed. News and analysis at townhall.com.
Guys, waking up over and over to urinate is not okay. But now, you can reduce those nighttime bathroom trips with the ingredients in Super Beta Prostate P3 Advanced. We're talking about less urges to urinate at night, less bathroom trips during the day, and better bladder emptying.
It's like taking three prostate supplements in one.
You can try a full 30-day bottle of P3 Advanced, free.
Just pay shipping and handling.
No strings attached, no obligations, and no commitments to buy. This is a 30-day supply, absolutely free.
Call 1-800-424-7126.
Super Beta Prostate is the best-selling brand in major retailers like Walmart. But for this no-strings-attached free bottle, you must call now.
Call 1-800-424-7126.
Don't miss out on this unprecedented free offer.
1-800-424-7126. 1-800-424-7126.
Health officials are issuing a renewed warning as the number of people sickened with lung disease linked to vaping continues to rise.
Officials with the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention are urging people to stop vaping until they figure out the cause of serious lung illnesses that have been linked to the use of e-cigarettes. Dr. Dana Meany-Delman is the incident manager for the CDC.
More information is needed to determine which specific products or substances are involved.
Officials upped the number of possible cases they'd identified to 450, including at least three deaths. Doctors say the illnesses have symptoms that present like an infectious disease, including shortness of breath, fatigue, chest pain, vomiting, and fever. I'm Jennifer King.
U.S. Naval Academy investigating a report that a noose was hung on Academy property on the 56th anniversary of the March on Washington. Naval Academy superintendent says the noose was found in a construction zone. More at townhall.com. The Hawaii Innocence Project says a former U.S. Navy sailor's statutory rape conviction has been overturned.
University of Hawaii's law school, where the Innocence Project is located, announced Friday that a state Supreme Court ruling officially sets aside the conviction of Roinus Durrell. Project co-director Ken Lawson says Doral spent 8 years in prison for a crime he didn't commit. Doral was charged with sex assault in 2002, accused of having sex with his ex-girlfriend's daughter. Officials at the Innocence Project say they presented evidence that convinced the Hawaii paroling authority to release him on early parole while his case was being appealed. Patrick Foss reporting.
Justice Neil Gorsuch has a new book coming out Tuesday. The 52-year-old justice, who was nominated by President Trump, laments the loss of civility in his new tome, A Republic If You Can Keep It. He says Americans should remember their political opponents live this country as much as we do. More at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
The value of banking local comes in being able to walk into the lobby, see the president, and be called by your first name, knowing that lending decisions are made locally by people you call neighbor or serve alongside when supporting a worthy cause. There's confidence in knowing that when you place your trust in Cornerstone Community Bank, you not only help yourself, you support the town you call home. Stop by one of our Redding or Red Bluff branches or visit us online at bankcornerstone.com. Cornerstone Community Bank, we invite you to experience how we are moving local dreams forward.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the perfect fit of your favorite pair of jeans, the nap-inducing powers of your trusty recliner, and the tried-and-true performance of a new Rood home heating system. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance today, 530-221-2642. At Alliance Heating and Air, everybody calls us.
From the Fox News radio studios in New York City, giving you opinions and facts with a positive approach, it's Brian Kilmeade.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Thursday edition of the Brian Kilmeade Show. We're going to break format for a very great reason. We're privileged to have in our studio one of the finest commanders of this generation, General Jim Mattis. And he is fresh off being Secretary of Defense for President Trump. He was once running things at CENTCOM for a while. His life is chronicled in his brand new book, Call Sign Chaos. Jim Mattis and Bing West put it together, Learning to Lead. And it chronicles what we've been covering over the last 20 years in military conflict, as well as his career and how he came to the leadership skills he has today. General, thanks so much for coming up. Congratulations on the book.
Well, thanks very much for having me, Brian. It's a pleasure being here.
So far, how's the tour going? I mean, some people are really grilling you. You do not seem to break.
No, this isn't stress, Brian. I don't have stress. I create it, so it's no problem at all.
Right. So I want to go with some of the highlights. First off, you do point out early on in your book, you hardly grew up perfect. You talk about being in prison. You got thrown in jail, right?
Well, I did. I was a little too rambunctious at times, but that I was dealt with appropriately at those times, and I learned a lot in jail.
You looked out the window. You're always trying to learn. That's one thing I got from your book. You're always trying to pick things up. And one of the people you're sharing a cell with taught you something about life as
right.
you looked out the window.
He was a bail jumper out of Maryland, and he was in jail waiting to be taken back to Maryland, a guy named Porter Wagner, not the Porter Wagner, the country singer. But I chinned up on the cell window, looked out at a gray day, and I could see the rain coming down in a muddy backyard there. He said, "What do you see out there, Jim?" And I said, just a muddy yard. And he says, well, he was sitting on his rack, his bed, looking out the window. He says, from here, all I can see is stars. You just choose what you're going to look at in life.
And you learn what from that?
I learned that no matter what happens, you choose your reaction.
It's interesting. So as a kid, you had two parents that let you hitchhike. They gave you a lot of freedom.
They did.
How did that form your personality?
It was fascinating to be picked up somewhere, not knowing where you're going to sleep that night. You knew where you wanted to go, up to Saskatchewan or Montana or Texas. The night nurse coming off shift picked you up in the morning. Cross-country truck driver grabbed you in the afternoon, and you learned people's stories. And I was fascinated by them, frankly.
In the age of helicopter parents, I would say that you were not raised by helicopter parents. You were teenagers, right?
My parents had traveled the world when they were young. They saw the world as a place, not fearful, but a place to go out and enjoy.
When was it you knew you were going to get drafted?
at that time, but you chose the Marines.
Right.
Why did you choose the Marines? When did you realize the Marines were for you?
Well, I chose the Marine because my brother was in Vietnam with the Marines at that time, and it just seemed natural to do it. I wouldn't say it was deep thinking. I'd thought about the Marines growing up just because I'd met some. But after I'd been in a couple years, I realized I wanted to do more than just my patriotic duty. We all figured at that time we'd get drafted once we got out of college, so you might as well, you were either going to dodge the draft or you were going to go and do your duty. After there for a couple of years, I decided I just liked being around Marines. It was nothing deeper than that. We had crummy jobs, and I hated some jobs. I grew to hate minefields at age 21. But I loved being around people who'd crawl into minefields looking for mines so their buddy wouldn't get hurt.
Yeah, you like the teamwork aspect. You like the coaching. You're always saying, yeah, I'm a coach. I got to get the most out of players, right. The most talented. What did your era of recruiting teach you about teamwork, right, and persuasion?
Well, the challenge on recruiting was I had sergeants spread all over the Pacific Northwest, Oregon, Idaho, Washington, Hawaii, Guam. And what I needed to do is make sure they understood what we were going to do ethically and do it well. We were going to recruit for attitude, and then the drill instructor would teach them the skills. But I really learned to delegate responsibility for making decisions to low-ranking people, to junior troops, to train them well, make very clear what you want, and then just take your hands off the steering wheel and let them practice their initiative.
Right. Show them initiative. You also recognize talent and how to get the most out of it, whether they had a lot or a little. And you would not judge, but you would evaluate and see how they can contribute. I just was fascinated the way the school was always in with you, even at everything you've accomplished. Some moments in your career that stand out, because it's American history, too. You're with President Obama, and you're at CENTCOM. So you're in charge of CENTCOM, and President Obama has this announcement, Cut 24.
Already, we have brought home 33,000 of our brave servicemen and women. This spring, our forces will move into a support role, while Afghan security forces take the lead. Tonight, I can announce that over the next year, another 34,000 American troops will come home from Afghanistan. This drawdown will continue, and by the end of next year, our war in Afghanistan will be over.
Problem with that? Great, we're going to surge. The problem is we're going to leave. And how did that make your job harder?
Well, once you tell the adversary, the enemy, what you're not going to do, when you tell them we are not going to fight past a certain date, for example, then the enemy gains the initiative. One of my mentors taught me you never tell your enemy what you're not going to do. Even if you're not going to do it, don't reassure them in advance. Plus, in this case, we're in a war. He had run for office knowing we were in a war, and you have to play the ball where it lies. You can want a war over, you can declare the war over, but the bottom line is the enemy gets a vote.
And you're the military guy. You know that. You studied it. You're also, even though the Marines give you books to read, you choose to read more. And you have a civilian commander with no military experience deciding this. Does anyone consult you about the context of the speech and what words like that would mean?
No, they did not. Oftentimes I felt like there was the appearance of consultation, but not the reality. But I think the larger issue is, Brian, that civilian political leaders are voted into office based on human aspirations. And I accept that. I support that. We want better health care. We want education. We want our country to be prosperous. I understand that. But military leaders have to bring in war's grim realities, and there's a tension there between human aspirations of political leaders and war's grim realities, and you have to reconcile that. You don't dismiss either side. You set priorities.
So the President Obama, that was the good war, Afghanistan. The bad war was Iraq, and he's going to pull all his troops out, and he decides to do that right away. You set a scene in your book where you're trying to explain to Joe Biden the need to keep troops. As you're explaining to him, you realize he was in charge of the pullout of troops from Afghanistan. He's not listening, and you're not going to be able to persuade him, and you're going to lose the argument. What made you think he was not going to be persuaded?
Well, the Obama administration had made the decision that we were coming out. That's the bottom line. The intelligence community gave fair warning that if we pulled everyone out too rapidly, the enemy would regain strength. They were very clear about it. They even said it would take a couple of years and it would be an Al-Qaeda-associated group. You and I know it today, Brian, as ISIS. So it happened, and, of course, President Obama administration had to put people back in. I think the vice president at that point was the messenger. The administration had made the decision, and there was no going back. It was almost like there had been a cutoff time for any ideas about staying.
But you knew al-Maliki was going to isolate the Sunnis. We all went to school on Sunnis and Shias that were paying attention.
Right.
You knew that he didn't even get the most votes. He didn't deserve to be the leader. You knew he was about to divide up and undo everything that you sacrificed, and you could not get the message across.
Well, the American troops who were there and the American diplomats especially were doing a very good job of moderating and being somewhat of a governor on Maliki's instincts. After the election, when he did not receive the bulk of votes, the majority of votes, I did not think he had the level of trust necessary. And one message, one theme, as you know, because I know you've read the book, that keeps coming through is that a leader has got to have the ability to earn, to gain the trust of people. And we knew what he was going to do with the Sunnis, and at that point the die was cast if we pulled all the American troops out and if Maliki was permitted to become the next prime minister.
Here is Barack Obama describing the pullout on August 2014, Cut 30.
That entire analysis is bogus and is wrong, but gets frequently peddled around here by folks who... oftentimes are trying to defend previous policies that they themselves made.
So people, he says, anyone who blames me for the Iraqi pullout is bogus.
Well, I think what we have to get away from is pointing to our political opponents as somehow always being wrong and be a lot more rigorous on identifying the problems we're trying to solve.
So we don't repeat them.
So we don't repeat them because... history will either rhyme or repeat itself if you don't study it and figure out how to successfully address these kinds of issues.
So you have Rand Paul, who sometimes sides with the president when the president talks about not getting engaged overseas. Everyone would love a world like that, but I don't think the world is like that. You would know better. Here's what Rand Paul said. He brought your name up in December 2018 about Syria, Iraq, and Afghanistan. Cut 28.
You know, I think that we should look at some of the statements of the people who are advocating that we stay in Afghanistan forever and that we also stay now in Syria with no sort of determined end. General Mattis, even General Mattis said that there's no military solution to Syria, and he's also said there's no military solution to Afghanistan. So I think the burden is really on Mattis and others who want perpetual war to explain why, if there is no military solution, we're sending more troops. I think the onus is really on them to explain themselves.
Will you accept that challenge?
I would happily accept it. The idea that any seasoned officer wants endless war is contradicted. I think you'll find the people most reluctant to go into a war are seasoned officers. We were in a war. We did have how we wanted to go forward in Syria. It was to make certain that we destroyed the ISIS caliphate, and it was to drive the Syrian civil war into a UN-brokered peace in Geneva. Russia's regrettable veto marginalized the UN process. But we did have a solution there. On Afghanistan, we want to continue to teach the Afghans how to defend their own country. And you don't pull all the troops out in one fell swoop and repeat exactly what we did in Iraq. We may not like globalization. That's not a policy. That's a reality we have to deal with. And terrorism is an ambient threat that's going to be with us for the indefinite future.
So you probably don't know this because you're so busy on your book tour. President Trump hopped on the radio with me on Thursday, and I'm like you in that I'm my privilege. I meet a lot of people like you that actually fight the wars, command the wars, and study history, and knows going down to zero in Afghanistan would be an outright disaster. And here's what the president said, cut 26. Right
now
we're
down to 8,600, and then we make a determination from there as to what happens. We'll make a determination, but we're going down to 8,600. We're bringing it down. We have it very well controlled. You know, we're not fighting a war over there. We're just policemen over there. We could win that war and so fast. If I wanted to kill 10 million people, Brian, which I don't, I'm not looking to kill a big portion of that country. I'm not looking to do that. I don't want to do that.
So he's going to keep 8,600. In 135 days, we're going to pull out 5,400. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't know the details of the pull-up plan. I don't know what the Taliban are agreeing to or what level of confidence we have that they will actually do what they say they're going to do.
How much confidence does General Mattis have in the Taliban to do what they say what they're going to do?
I would say instead of trust but verify, it would be first verify, then trust.
8,600, will they be able to keep an eye on Al-Qaeda, ISIS, and terrorist activity in that region?
Yeah, I haven't seen the plan, and again, it depends an awful lot on what the Taliban's role is afterwards, and so I think the jury's out.
You testified that you read the whole Iranian deal, and even though you didn't like it, you would have kept it.
Well, I didn't like it at the time because I didn't think the sundown provisions set a long enough end state, and I did not believe that the inspection regime was sufficiently rigorous. There were too many ways they could delay inspections and still be in accordance with it. However, once it was signed...
Which we're seeing now. The IAEA said they were prevented from going into a site where they think there's development.
Well, since the Americans walked out on the treaty a year later, they began doing that, and I think the point is that our intelligence community had said they were living up to the agreement. They were living up to it. Now, if we'd used military means to stop that nuclear weapons program, not nuclear program, nuclear weapons program is what it was, and with denial and deceit, they had hidden it for many, many years. If, in fact, they had basically gone to a point in the program where he had to use military action, we probably could have stopped the program in its tracks for about 2 years, but one strike would not have done it. It would have taken more. As it was, it had already worked for several years. So at that point, I'd say that you'd have to look at the value of it alongside the allies who had also signed up for it.
North Korea, they say if they can put a nuclear missile on a submarine, is that a game changer, and do you believe they can?
I don't believe they can, but I've been away from the intelligence community now for 8 months, and I'm always hesitant to talk authoritatively about things when I've been out of the game for a while.
China, are they building a military to match ours and beat ours rather than just building a military?
They are clearly building a military more capable than they need for their own national defense. Now, what they intend to do with it, the jury is out, but I think one point I would make is for multiple administrations, Republican and Democrat, we've all thought that if they liberalize their economy, then they'll be more accepting of the international order. This administration has recognized reality. They are not going to do that. And clearly we're going to have to cooperate, collaborate with China where we can, but we're going to have to confront them where we must.
Do you think Shanahan could have done the job, your deputy?
I have no doubt he could have done the job.
Right. And did you know about his background? And why do you think he wasn't able to get through this time where he got through to be your deputy?
I don't understand. Right. All I know is what was in the news on that. But, yes, the investigation when he came in as the deputy had looked at that. The Senate Armed Service Committee had looked at that, and they had voted him in.
Hurt to get let go twice? Well, you resigned a second time, and then he said you can go right away.
No, I can. We owe, as military and defense officials, we owe our honest opinion. As long as you give your honest opinion, I bear no rancor to President Obama or President Trump.
And the country owes you a lot. Call sign Chaos, the name of the book. The way to pay back is to pick it up. General Jim Mattis, Learning to Lead. It's all there. Thanks so much for everything you've done. It's great to get to know you.
Thanks,
Brian. In a moment.
Newsmakers and newsbreakers. Hear it first, only on the Brian Kilmeade Show.
Hall of Fame catcher Johnny Bench for Blue Emu. I used to hit dingers and throw lasers. I had a long and healthy career in baseball. Blue Emu helps me keep my muscles and joints healthy so I can keep playing off the field now. Try Blue Emu today. It works fast and you won't stink.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Attention. If you've had hernia surgery and have experienced complications such as chronic pain, infection, wound reopening, mesh migration, bowel obstruction, need revision surgery, or other complications, you may be entitled to significant cash compensation. Hernia repair surgery is common.
skin and requires a mesh product to be implanted inside your body. In May of 2016, the manufacturer of a popular hernia mesh product issued a mandatory global recall due to product defects. If you've had hernia surgery and have experienced complications, you may be entitled to significant cash compensation. Call the Hernia Mesh Helpline now at 800-470-2136. Our experienced attorneys will fight to get you the compensation you deserve. You pay nothing unless we get a recovery in your favor. Time is limited to file a claim, so call the Hernia Mesh Helpline now, 800-470-2136. Operators are standing by 24/7. Call 800-470-2136. That's 800-470-2136.
This is a cow whose milk became everyone's favorite cheese at the craft fair. But cheese only lasts so long. The impression a small business makes needs to last much longer. That's why Vistaprint is offering 500 truly personalized business cards starting at $9.99. Choose from hundreds of fresh designs tailored to your type of company, or upload your own. The choice is yours. The time is now. Get 500 business cards starting at $9.99 with promo code 9696. That's promo code 9696 at Vistaprint.com. Vistaprint, own the now.
Hi, I'm Johnny Bench for Blue Emu. Every pain relief product claims their new ingredient will help, but Blue Emu is the number one emu oil brand every year for a reason. Don't trust hype, trust consistency. Choose Blue Emu. It works fast, and you won't stink.
The Dean's List with Janice Dean.
A doctor who performed open-heart surgery in a very unusual place makes today's Dean's List. John O'Brien was involved in a road traffic collision a few years ago while he was out riding his motorbike in Delamere, England. Firefighters, paramedics, and police were first to arrive on the scene, followed shortly by Dr. Mark Forrest. The 47-year-old went into cardiac arrest and conventional resuscitation proved ineffective. Dr. Forrest realized he had to operate immediately. The doctors completely opened Mr. O'Brien's chest to expose his heart and lungs so they could perform treatment of his internal bleeding, lung injuries, and to massage his heart back to life. Incredibly, within a few minutes, his heart was beating strongly and the bleeding had been controlled. John O'Brien made a remarkable recovery, and he was able to walk his daughter Amy down the aisle for her wedding. An amazing story thanks to the brave skills of Dr. Forrest and his team. Janice Dean, Fox News.
From the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
Joe DiMaggio was named the greatest living player in a 1969 poll of sports writers. He took the great American pastime of baseball to new heights during his career and defined the term sports hero in the 40s and 50s. Jolton Joe was known for the power of his batting. After World War II, he became a national hero, and even people who didn't like the New York Yankees liked Joe. He announced his retirement in 1952.
I said last spring, I thought this would be my last year. I wish I could have had a better year, but even if I had hit 350, this would have been my last year for me anyway. You all know I've had my share of injuries and setbacks during my career. In recent years, these have been too frequent to laugh for. When baseball is no longer fun, it's no longer a game. And so, I've played my last game of ball.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk. From Fox News Talk, here's another sound memory.
The many loves of Dobie Gillis first appeared in a novel by Max Schulman, who also made it into a film and then later to TV. The show starred Dwayne Hickman as Dobie, and Bob Gilligan Denver played his allergic friend Maynard G. Cribbs. The show aired from 1959 to 1963. Dobie,
stay tuned to hear more sound memories on Fox News Talk.
A talk show that's real. This is the Brian Kilmeade Show.
Sorry, I went a little bit long. But my big three, just roughly, I want to talk in the big three about Joe Biden is his lead to lose. He's actually winning another poll by about 20 points. I don't know how he's doing it. Going for the guns, the Odessa shootout. I want to talk about that because now it looks like Walmart is getting a little concerned. They're only selling a certain amount of guns. But the idiotic things some Democrats are saying about it, where it gets everybody extremely worried about the future of the Second Amendment, and which make them double down. We'll talk about the hurricane as well. And we'll talk about the fact that President Trump, for some reason, does not do good with, well head-to-head with Biden. But in my mind, head-to-head with Biden is a dream matchup for the president, especially how he's done under pressure, which has been absolutely terrible. It'll all come out in the debates. We'll see if it ends up being Elizabeth Warren in the end, who I also think is a good matchup for the president. We'll discuss that and so much more just around the bend when we come back with somebody extremely special. In fact, joining us will be Senator Kennedy from Louisiana. Don't move. Brian Kilmeade Show. It's Thursday.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five-Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five-Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than mainstream media sound bites.
We'll bring you experts on politics, national security, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. We the People Radio here at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearms specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard to find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
From the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
On January 19, 1989, President Ronald Reagan bid farewell to Americans in his last address as president.
I've spoken of a shining city all my political life, but I don't know if I ever quite communicated what I saw when I said it. But in my mind, it was a tall, proud city built on rocks stronger than oceans, windswept, God-blessed, and teeming with people of all kinds, living in harmony and peace. a city with free ports that hummed with commerce and creativity. And if there had to be city walls, the walls had doors, and the doors were open to anyone with the will and the heart to get here. That's how I saw it and see it still.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk. This is Poll Parade with Fox News Director of Polling, Dana Blanton.
Former President Obama's name came up 17 times during the last Democratic presidential debate, and not always in a good way. Some candidates criticized his administration on health care, trade, and immigration. Here's why that's surprising. Obama's extremely popular with Democratic voters. Our Fox News poll finds 93% have a positive view of him. Plus, 60% of voters overall like him. For comparison, 42% of all voters and 85% of Republicans have a favorable opinion of President Trump. Voters hoping to oust President Trump split between picking a Democratic candidate who will build on Obama's legacy and one who will take a new approach, 48% to 47%. Those Democratic primary voters who favor a new approach support Elizabeth Warren over Joe Biden by 5 points in the nomination race. However, those wanting to build on Obama's legacy go for Biden over Warren by 26 points. I'm Dana Blanton, and that's your Poll 3.
A radio show like no other. It's Brian Kilmeade.
The idea that we don't have elimination of assault-type weapons, magazines that can hold multiple bullets in them, is absolutely mindless.
Right. For those people who think gun control results in you losing all your guns, Joe Biden making that statement makes people think they're going to lose all their guns. Ryan Kleckner weighed in on Tucker last night. He's a firearms attorney. Cut 17.
I'm hoping this is just another Joe Biden gaffe, that he just has no idea what he's talking about, because I don't know of a single magazine, Tucker, that doesn't hold more than one round of ammunition. If he means what he says and he actually knows what he's talking about, then you're right. He's talking about banning every single gun out there that accepts a magazine.
And Beto O'Rourke is talking about a mandatory buyback of all guns. For those people who don't want to see another shooting but also want to take great pride in the Second Amendment, this is exactly what they're worried about. Let's bring in Senator John Kennedy of Louisiana on the Judiciary Budget and Appropriations Committee. He has a lot in his plate as he gets back to work. Senator, we all want no more Odessas. We want no more Sandy Hooks. But is this the mindset that gun owners fear?
It could be. I can just tell you my point of view, from whence I come. The Bill of Rights is not an a la carte menu. The Second Amendment is just as important as the First Amendment or the Fourth Amendment. We have 100 million people in a free country that have chosen to exercise that Second Amendment right. When a GI, this blows up a school, we're told not to condemn all Muslims because of the act of one or two or several. I agree with that. I want the same rule to apply to gun owners. The cry out of Washington, D.C. is do something. I don't agree with that. I say do something if it works. And what I want to see in this debate is causal scientific evidence. I don't want false comfort.